Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
With the songs that you have shared, with this film that you have seen, through all of this, God has verified why he's having me preach a very familiar message to you. There are many subjects the Bible talks about, but there's a specific pattern that runs throughout Scripture that defines God's relationship with us and the relationship he expects us to have with others. In Genesis chapter 1, 28, at the creation of Adam and Eve, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue." This sets the first pattern. At creation, our Creator God displays himself as one who blesses. That's exactly what he does, is blessing us. And this concept is more fully developed in the call of Abram in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. All the people on earth will be blessed through you." This presents another half of the pattern. God blesses us so that we can bless others. That's our primary call in life, is to be a blessing to others as God has blessed us. In speaking to Isaac, Abraham's son, in Genesis, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, and my laws." Because Abraham did that, God says that's our message for us too. And in speaking to Jacob in Genesis 28, the Lord said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through your offspring." In Exodus chapter 6, God promising delivery from Egyptian bondage said this, "God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. There was El Shaddai. And by my name, the Lord, I did not let myself be known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." Where would we be today if God did not remember his promises that he made to us? We would not be here, number one, and we would not be praising the Lord, number two. "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." Do you realize that God breaks us from slavery to Satan? He knows how to do that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God continues to bless those who are his as long as we pass that blessing on to others. There's many other Old Testament scriptures that portray the Lord as the God who blesses and his expectations that we're to bless. But this concept also carries over into the New Testament. In Acts chapter 3, Peter's sermon following the healing of the crippled beggar. "Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets with Samuel. All the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs and the prophets of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. When Jesus began his public ministry, he blessed Peter by calling him to be his disciple. Now Peter blesses a crippled beggar by sharing Jesus Christ with him and displaying the healing power of Christ. Then Peter proclaims Jesus Christ as the one who blesses each of us by turning us from our wicked ways. Where would we be today were it not for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, showing us how to live, leading us how to live, helping us how to live, and making sure that through our life we are blessing other people. This is stated more clearly in Galatians chapter 3 with the Apostle Paul speaking. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now, you might have noticed that all those other scriptures were Old Testament, were Israeli-oriented or Jewish-oriented. The Gentiles are included in the reception of all of this. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so that those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. As you read through Scripture, as we've done, has it reflected on you that you are receiving the very same word, the very same power, the very same blessing, the very same presence of God Almighty in our life that these Old Testament prophets and even the New Testament disciples experienced? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I get goosebumps, or in Hawaii we call that chicken skin, when you think about Jesus and his power in us, for us, and through us. That blessing from God, which we've received through Jesus Christ, puts us in a unique relationship with God. In 1 Peter, he writes in his book, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We bless others when we declare the praises of God. Again, we see the twofold pattern of our relationship with God. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Becoming a believer in Jesus Christ is not an end in itself. He's not saving us just to be saved. He is saving us so that we can lead others into the same relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not about us. It's always about others. Every morning when I awake, first of all I do is look in the mirror and smile. May not feel like it, but I look in the mirror and smile. And I say, thank you, Lord. How many of you, well, I know all of you have. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, God gave me another verse. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should wake before I die, I pray the Lord will tell me why. You're awake on purpose. God's awakened you on purpose. Why, Lord? What's in it for me today? What is important to God should be important to us. Matthew 4:19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you a fishers of men. And in Matthew 22, Jesus tells us what this all means. A Pharisee asked Jesus a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. I will make you fishers of men. A fisher of men loves God. A fisher of men loves others. A fisher of men follows Jesus. So how do we love God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's see how the early Christians expressed their love for God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling everything, their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in their homes and ate together with good and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How do you grow a church? You love people just as God has loved you. Be a blessing to people just as God has blessed you. We love God by devoting ourselves to His Word, first of all. That's our source. That's our power. That's our strength. We love God by devoting ourselves to the body of Christ in fellowship. That's why we gather together. We love God by devoting ourselves to giving to those who have need. God blesses us. Why? Because He expects us to love and bless others. There's nothing more important in our lives than being a blessing to others. Luke 12 says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We bless others when we love them, just like Jesus loves us and like Jesus loves them. You have to keep in mind that when you're ministering to people, God cares as much about them as He does about you. He's placed you in a very important, special position because He's allowed your path to cross, whether it's a stranger or just a stranger. No matter what we look like or how we act, when God allows us to cross paths, there's a reason for that. So how do we best express God's love in us, through us, as we share that love? We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know that there are 13 qualities that Paul talks about there. Love is patient. Wow. Oops. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices in the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Wow. Tremendous, tremendous explanation, definition, what love is. And then Apostle Paul brings it out a little differently in Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about 9 qualities. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and he throwed that last one in just for the fun of it, and self-control. Unfortunately for us, sometimes God knows what He's doing better than we do. And when we say amen, it literally means so be it. And every time God speaks, it's better off saying so be it. Let the Lord be the speaker. We bless others by fulfilling these characteristics in our relationships with others. In 1993, Steve Georgian wrote a book entitled Conspiracy of Kindness. And in that book, he's basically showing God's love in practical ways without worrying about who gets credit. Wow. Read that again. I only heard one amen. Showing God's love in a practical way without worrying about who gets credit. Oftentimes, we feel we're doing it so we get the credit. Attention is brought to us. There's times where I've had people try to give me praise and try to give me honor, and I do my best to try to slip under a desk somewhere. Or I just simply say, that's where it comes from. I don't take credit for any of that. It's the Lord and how He is using me. I was in a conference the last 3 days in Pasadena, California, and one of the things that were pointed out was a special feature that was there. I'm leaving this book here for your pastor. It's entitled Bless, B-L-E-S-S. Has anybody seen that or heard of it or anything? This was printed, published in 2021. B-L-E-S-S, five everyday ways to love your neighbor and change the world. And those are the specifics right there. You begin with prayer. You listen more than you talk. Too often we want to do the talking. You don't know how to respond unless you've listened. Feel free to eat with your neighbors. Eat with your friends. Eat with someone that you know is unsaved. If you work with people that you know aren't believers, make sure you have some food with them. Some of us look like we've enjoyed it more than others. I'm glad it was more laughter than instead of an amen. S, serve. How do you serve your neighbor? One of the things that Steve Zorgin brought out in Conspiracy of Kindness led to a movement where there was a toilet cleansing process. People would go out into restaurants and clean the toilets of people. They would go to their neighbors, say, anything I can help you with around your house? Can I sweep for you? Can I clean your toilet for you or whatever? In other words, be willing to do whatever will touch a person's life in a way. And then finally, the S is the story. By then, you'll have time to share how God has been working in your life. Too often we start preaching when we've not built the foundation, when we've not opened the doors in the right way. Relationship building is probably the most important thing we can do in terms of opening the door or trying to open the door. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens the door. I've often said, as a leader of pastors over the decades of which God's allowed me to do that, and let me do say one thing, I'm not a retired preacher. Sometimes I'm a tired preacher. God has allowed me to keep on, and I'm grateful for that. But for 16, almost 17 years, I was the superintendent over 100 congregations in California and had the opportunity of not only preaching in those churches, but placing pastors and trusting God in how to grow churches in that area. And the key thing that God taught me, never slam a door, never kick a door open. In other words, it literally is one step at a time, trusting the Lord. As you walk your dogs down the neighborhoods, I've already seen a picture of one. One dear lady lives in our neighborhood. As you walk your dog down the neighborhood, pray for those neighbors, those houses that you walk by. The one thing about this particular program, it's called bless.com, if you want to check that out. It will enable you to actually know, if you subscribe to that, and it's free to you, churches pay for it. But if you apply to that as an individual, that program is free to you. And if you sign up for that, tell them where you live, it will give you the exact addresses and the names of the neighbors in your neighborhood. So when you walk by houses, you're not just praying for the house, you're praying for people by their names. This is how we begin to bless. Begin with prayer and let the Lord open the door or shut the door. God has proven that true in so many ways over the decades that He's allowed me to be a minister. You're going to be singing a song in just a moment. I don't know if it'll be all verses or not. So I'm going to share those words with you. It's entitled, Make Me a Blessing. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. And the refrain says, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, let Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Heavenly Father, that's your message, not mine. You know what you're doing. We're trusting you. Thank you for the privilege of sharing together. Thank you for Pastor Terrell, Lord, and him trusting me. But thank you, Father, that in trusting you, your word is what's being shared. So as we prepare to go from this place after singing this and the closing song, Father, I lift this church to you by individual who you know better than I do. I lift the pastor to you. I lift this community to you as they minister to them, and will give you praise and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.